A man reaches for his coffee with an arm that no longer exists. A woman insists her paralyzed hand works perfectly, even as it lies motionless. Another patient laughs uncontrollably at her mother's funeral, unable to stop despite her horror. These aren't tales from science fiction. They're real neurological conditions that reveal something extraordinary. Your brain is constantly constructing the reality you experience, and sometimes that construction goes spectacularly wrong. Through these medical mysteries, we discover that consciousness isn't a passive receiver of information, but an active storyteller, constantly editing and revising the narrative of who we are and what we perceive. Each bizarre symptom becomes a clue in understanding how our minds create the seamless experience we call reality. When Tom lost his arm in a car accident, something strange happened. Touch his face, and he felt it in his missing hand. Your brain contains detailed maps of your body's surface, with adjacent body parts represented next to each other. When an arm disappears, the neighboring face area invades the now vacant hand territory, sometimes within 24 hours. This happens when dormant neural pathways suddenly unmask themselves. Your brain already has backup layering, just waiting. This remapping extends to unexpected places. A graduate student who lost her leg reported phantom foot sensations during sex, explained by the brain's map showing feet adjacent to genitals. An engineer experienced orgasms in his phantom foot, making them feel much bigger than before. This neural proximity might even explain foot fetishes, not Freud's symbolic theories, but simple brain geography. Women with mastectomies felt phantom nipples when their earlobes were touched. Your body image isn't fixed. It's constantly negotiated between what exists and what your brain remembers. Phantom limbs often cause excruciating pain, twisted into impossible positions, frozen in spasms. Traditional treatments fail, shortening stumps, cutting nerves, destroying brain centers. Then came a breakthrough using a simple mirror box. Patients placed their intact arm behind a mirror, positioned to make the reflection appear where the phantom should be. When they moved their real arm while watching its reflection, many felt their phantom move in sync. Most remarkably, this visual trick could eliminate phantom spasms and erase pain memories. This reveals something profound. Vision dominates other senses in constructing reality. The brain doesn't work like a computer with modules processing information in one direction. Instead, perceptions emerge from reverberations between different sensory systems, each continuously updating the others. You can experience this yourself. Have someone stroke your nose and a rubber hand simultaneously while you're blindfolded. Within minutes, you'll feel sensations in the fake hand. Your body image is that malleable. Diane Fletcher was clinically blind after carbon monoxide poisoning destroyed her visual cortex. Yet, when asked to navigate obstacle courses or reach for objects, she performed with surprising accuracy while insisting she couldn't see anything. This condition, blindsight, reveals you have multiple visual systems operating independently. The primary what pathway identifies objects and creates conscious vision. A secondary how pathway guides movements without awareness, your inner zombie. Diane's what pathway was damaged, but her how pathway remained intact, allowing unconscious navigation. The opposite condition, balance syndrome, damages the how pathway while leaving what intact. These patients recognize objects perfectly, but can't point to them. This reveals the binding problem. With dozens of specialized visual areas processing different features, how do you experience unified vision? Athletes may have discovered the answer intuitively. Quarterbacks calculating trajectories, outfielders intercepting baseballs, basketball players making shots with eyes closed. Sometimes it's better to release your zombie and let the how pathway work unimpeded. Ellen returned home after her stroke, meticulously groomed, makeup applied, hair combed, clothes arranged, but only on her right side. The left remained completely neglected. Hemineglect patients aren't blind to the left. That side simply doesn't exist in their universe. Navy Captain Steve described it. When I shaved, I neglected the left side of my face. When I dressed, I would leave the left arm outside its sleeve. In experiments with mirrors, Ellen could see objects in her neglected left field reflected in a mirror on her right. But instead of reaching left, she repeatedly banged on the mirror trying to grab the reflection, insisting it's inside the mirror. This looking glass syndrome reveals how neglect patients unconsciously reason. The reflection is in the mirror, so the object must be on my left. But the left doesn't exist, therefore, the object must be inside the mirror. Even more bizarre is anosognosia, denial of one's own paralysis. Patients with completely paralyzed arms insist they're moving normally. When cold water was squirted into Mrs. Mackin's ear, a procedure that temporarily disrupts neural pathways, she suddenly admitted, "My left arm is paralyzed," for the first time in 3 weeks. 12 hours later, she denied ever saying it, creating two separate conscious beings: the cold water Mrs. Mackin, who acknowledged truth, and the regular Mrs. Mackin, who maintained the comfortable fiction. When Dr. Michael Persinger magnetically stimulated his temporal lobes, he experienced God. Temporal lobe epilepsy patients often have intense spiritual experiences during seizures, feeling on fire, experiencing direct communion with God, where everything suddenly makes cosmic sense. This revealed truth comes from emotional limbic structures, not rational regions. These electrical storms permanently alter personality through kindling, creating new neural pathways. Patients develop temporal lobe personality, seeing cosmic significance in trivial events, becoming obsessed with philosophical and theological questions. Testing two epilepsy patients revealed they responded strongly to religious stimuli while showing diminished responses to everything else, even sexual images. This suggests temporal lobe epilepsy creates specific pathways enhancing religious experience while dampening others. Whether these circuits evolved specifically for religion or generate emotions conducive to spiritual beliefs remains unknown, but we can now address questions about God scientifically. Willie Anderson laughed uncontrollably at his mother's funeral, dying 2 days later from a brain aneurysm compressing his hypothalamus. Ruth Greenough literally died laughing for 90 minutes despite morphine. These cases reveal a specialized laughter circuit, perhaps evolved to alert social groups that detected anomalies are trivial, a false alarm signal that spreads contagiously. These neurological mysteries reveal consciousness as a construction project. Specialized brain systems evolved for survival, constantly repurposed and edited. When construction fails through stroke or injury, the scaffolding becomes visible. Vision operates without awareness, body maps redraw overnight, the left hemisphere maintains coherent narratives by editing out threatening information. This perspective enhances rather than diminishes experience. You actively participate in reality's creation. Your brain predicts, constructs, sometimes invents what you perceive. Phantom limbs, neglected visual fields, religious ecstasies, uncontrollable laughter, each reveals extraordinary complexity underlying ordinary perception and profound adaptability enabling recovery from devastating injuries. Your reality is a story your brain tells itself, revised moment by moment. Understanding this doesn't diminish the magic, it deepens it immeasurably.